This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to the Nerdcast on ProjectNerd.com.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
I knew it. I knew you were bluffing. I knew he was bluffing.
You're listening to the Nerdcast.
I feel like I should say something smart.
With Adam, Bob, Iggy, and Tyler.
You mustn't be afraid to dream a little bigger, darling.
Only on Project Nerd.
That is one big pile of shit.
What up, nerds? Welcome to the Nerdcast episode 219 right here on Project Nerd and brought to you by Geek Garage. That's geek-garage.com. Head on over for all the great geek vehicles you can see all across the world and, of course, all the amazing events that they are participating in, especially as con season gets back going. And speaking of con season, we'll be talking a lot about that today as I have a very special guest with me. This is Iggy, by the way, in case for those of you that are new to this or don't know, which there might be some of you after a con weekend, but I'm joined by CEO Wolfgar of Wolfgar Weapons and Kaz Awesome Studios and a million other things. What's going on, man?
Just recovering from the long weekend, but yeah, it's great to be here.
Oh, and we're here. Where is here?
We're in Lafayette, Indiana. I run a makerspace down here, and it's a Matchbox Maker Lab, Matchbox Maker Studio. Within Matchbox Studio.
Right.
And yeah, we're here in my lab. I wish you could see it, but we got some 3D printers running. We got some other stuff going.
I'll take some pictures and put them on the post for sure. But if you catch background noise, if the audio is a little off, if you catch us sniffling and trying to find our immune systems, it's all because we are in a shared workspace, but we're also recovering from C2E2 weekend.
Yeah, we are.
Wow. No sleep. No, anything really. Well, no, a lot of things. No things that are healthy for your body, though, really.
I mean, I feel like seeing my friends was healthy for me, right?
Good,
like that,
good point.
I love that part.
Mental. We sacrifice physical health, but gaining mental health, right?
Mental health, for sure.
That's exactly what it was. C2E2, for those that don't know, is Chicago. It's the Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo, one of the biggest events in the Midwest, and it's one of the events Project Nerd often finds themselves at because the likes of the Wolfgar crew of, I mean, all the photographers we know there, all the cosplayers we know there, all the artists and creators, and it's the one that everybody we know in the Midwest migrates to. And it was a little early this year, so it was cold, but
yeah.
Sunday was nicer, but either way, it was a fun time and plenty of adventures that we can talk about today, plenty of adventures that might have us in tears even recounting them for the 500th time, especially when Quaid was involved. So,
yeah.
That's it was scooters were aplenty, drinking was aplenty.
Witchers were aplenty.
Witchers
coins
were
aplenty.
Yeah,
I
saw
Witcher on Friday.
Were you in the? I saw C2E2 post something of like a big group, like Witcher thing.
I was not in.
You were
that,
not in
I
that.
I think I haven't had much time to actually look at posts on the weekend, trying to recover like that. But
there was like 20 Witchers. And they had a couple of the what's his names?
Bards.
Yeah, the bards around them.
Probably Yennefers and all those people.
I don't think they included men for this pose, this thing they did. So it was like a short, like, TikTok style video, which we learned a lot about TikTok this weekend, too.
Yeah, we did.
It was a, they had them and they were singing, and I think somebody at C2E2 was just throwing coins at them, like the 20 of them together.
Yeah, that's good.
It's pretty funny.
Hopefully they had a roach there, too. I did see one person with a roach, which is his horse.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to try to get like Quaid to drive around his scooter with the horse on.
Well, good job you didn't, Quaid, because I was a roach on Friday for a brief moment for you, and I got abandoned
good.
For Yennefer.
That was fun, though, right?
Like, right. No,
on the
a
back
blast.
Of the motorized scooter.
So the scooters. So what? You and Quaid and worked on these scooters, redesigned them to be Mario Kart style scooters. And when we say scooters, we mean like handicap style, right?
Yeah.
Scooters that you'd drive around like you see at Walmart, right? Or in the front of the grocery store, but like 30 mile per hour capable. Like these things hauled ass.
Oh, they were fun. I mean, when we got Princess Peach on there, she, I think she easily won. She had the most souped up one, you know, randomly. And she was able to just haul ass all the way through the halls. We went downstairs area, which was super fun. There wasn't many people around, so we could just like literally let them go.
Race.
It's kind of like the mall in the Mario Kart itself,
right?
So we had a lot of fun doing that. But yeah, our shop actually set up these scooters to look like Mario Kart. All the scooters belong to John Quaid, and we got lucky just that he had them available. And then we spent this past week, mainly Quay did pimping him out and making him look like Mario stuff. I did some laser cut jobs for him and helped him in general, but he was the one that mainly did it. And they turned out awesome, and it was crazy amounts of fun. It was awesome to have all the guys. It was me, my wife, Kyra, Lisa, who also helps us out a lot, Seth, who's my like one of my main builders, and then Quade, who's also a main builder. Basically, it was a lot of really cool people from Wolfgar Weapons. We're all able to be Mario Kart people.
Well, poor Luigi's cart didn't work.
Yeah, I think I know what was wrong, or I think we know what was wrong with it. But it was working before we loaded it up, and then when we got to the hotel, it like just stopped working.
Yeah, it was tired.
We were able to do double dash, though. luckily, the scooters can actually hold two people. So I actually had more fun when he was like, I was either on the back throwing shells because we had like plush shells
right,
to throw.
Right, yeah.
Or he was on my back because, you know, I don't like to be alone. And yeah. Even in a group like that, you're kind of driving the other people who are around. So we could team up and be like, all right, we're going to get Lisa. Like, let's go over here and get this person.
Well, I saw y'all take off from the cosplay area the one time. Like, Quade took off first, and then Seth jumped on the back with the shell. Like,
yeah.
You guys went racing after him, throw it at him. It was fun. No, I rode around. I got a medical sticker and rode around on Friday on the scooter. My body was dead, and so Quade and I, out of costume, rode it for a while. And then Saturday night, we made a White Castle run on those scooters.
The highlight of the weekend, really. Yeah.
Southside Chicago, maybe not the safest of neighborhoods. I think there was a lot of people out because it was right after the con got out. So there was a lot of people.
Sure.
And so it wasn't that bad. But we busted out the scooters and went outside and rode down to White Castle, parked them inside the restaurant, too, because we didn't want to leave them outside.
Gotta watch them.
And then rode back while trying to eat some White Castle. Almost got hit by a car. Almost took out a few sidewalk goers. Got to talk to a man about his taxes after he was finished drinking out of the trash can. You know, those kind of experiences that
yeah,
you always remember.
Typical experiences. I also heard that Quade actually dove off of his scooter after some things that had fallen off of off the scooter.
Right. So you guys mentioned
tell me that story.
How you guys decorated them. So on the baskets, there was the like foam. Emblems. Was that HD foam, by the way?
That was
I'm
HD
curious.
Foam.
Okay.
We should plug that right now.
HD foam.
SKS HD foam.
Your HD foam.
Himself.
Is beautiful. We'll have a link. We have affiliate link now for that, so we'll have to get it on the site.
That's cool. Yeah, sure. I laser cut all those symbols, which that stuff does. It cuts great, but it also laser cuts great, too.
Yeah.
So I laser cut all the symbols, and we had them all attached. Like,
right,
in
so
layers.
The peach. So, like, each side of the basket, like, you would see the logo, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean... They had gotten plenty of use at this point, so
sure.
Some of those weren't holding on to the baskets as well. So we go. Well, it starts when we get, because you're on the 20th floor. So we drive these out of the hotel room, and then trying to get in the elevator while we're talking to other people, because everybody's coming up. The floor is closing on the show. Floor is closing at that time, so we're like distracted. So the elevator's yelling at us as we're trying to rush, and so the scooters are bumping into each other, and the door's closing on them. So I think loosened up some stuff there.
Yeah, they're not the easiest to maneuver.
Not into an elevator meant for like people to go to a hotel room. No,
especially if you're not used to them. Yeah.
Yeah. And so when we go to get out, it was struggling to get out, but thankfully Lord Vader was there in all his glory, and he
Darth
held,
Vader himself.
Yes, yeah, he held the door open with his lightsaber. surprised it didn't cut right through it, but it sensed it
yeah.
was there and held open. So as he's holding that up, Quade backs out first, and then I roll out. And as he's looking in, and Vader, and he's got his big cape on too, so it's like, and it's like, and this is like a legit like high level costume, so
right.
The big old billowing cape as he walks in the elevator. Oh,
yeah.
And he's in a helmet, too, right? So he can't. So this is important because what happens next with Quade, it's important to understand this guy is in a helmet, so he has limited visibility and limited probably audibility. To, like he can only hear so much that's going on. So we get out of the elevator, and Quade turns around and sees the emblems had fallen off into the elevator.
His peach emblem.
His peach, yeah. So it's a very poor peach because he dives. And so really important, too, that we've omitted so far is he does have a bum ankle. He really is. So he's in an ankle brace.
Yeah.
And
he's hurt his ankle.
Yeah, he really can't walk.
The past, like 2 weeks, 3 weeks. That's why we built the scooters
right.
in the first place.
And it's very visible to any onlookers that this guy is actually using this as a handicap thing.
Yeah.
So he says, "Oh, my peaches," or "Oh, my peach," or something like that.
Yeah.
And dives into the elevator.
From the scooter.
From the scooter. Just dives headfirst in the elevator. And as the doors are closing on him. And he goes under Vader, who's like taking up all the elevator. And Vader, of course, just now sees this guy diving at him to his feet. And you probably didn't hear.
On,
probably didn't hear anything and could not see. So he's moving all around. And as he's moving, it's making it more difficult for Quaid to find the emblems underneath his like cape and everything.
Right.
And the doors are starting to now yell at this point, you know, make that obnoxious noise because they've been open
and
too long.
And his legs are hanging out.
Oh, yeah, because they're trying to close on his legs. Right.
Yeah.
And he's digging around. And I am in tears at this point.
As you are right
against
now,
the wall.
Yeah.
And there's a good three or four, because I mean, the elevators are crowded at this point. So there's a good three or four people there with just that we didn't know. So are confused as can be. And their jaws are like open in shock of what is going on. This crippled person just jumped out of their scooter and is yelling about peaches and like messing with Vader's feet. And so he finally, but the best part is he finally gets it. Crawls back to the scooter, and as he's doing that and the doors are closing, he realizes all of this has caused his cell phone to fall out of his pocket also into it. So he has to re-dive back out there to prevent the doors from closing again.
To get his cell phone.
Yeah, to get his phone, which was even more important than the beach.
Yeah. We could remake the, the phone.
Exactly. So that was, I think it took me a good 15 minutes of recovery before we could actually go to White Castle because I couldn't stop laughing at it. It was it was definitely a great moment for sure.
Always an adventure, right?
Yeah, especially with him.
I'm just glad he yelled, "Oh, my peaches."
Oh, my peaches.
And
he's
whether
diving.
Or not that's actually what he yelled or not, that's what I'm going to always tell the story as.
That's,
right?
Oh, my peaches. It was something to do with peaches. Like, it wasn't a clear, like, "Oh, I dropped the emblem. Let me get this."
It was
"Oh, my,"
like,
whatever.
Oh, peach or something.
As he's, you have to. Just picturing, especially for those that know Quaid, we'll be able to picture it easier. For those that don't, you just picture somebody diving out of a scooter with an ankle brace into towards Darth Vader.
With massive dimples.
Right? Oh, yeah. no, that was a great. It was funny. The scooters got plenty of use this weekend, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. They were really a highlight. Like I said, they were a really fun costume. And I typically have a lot of fun in my costumes, but they were a different kind, right? They were a team. We were driving around. We had the shells that we could throw at people. Lots of people took video. We were just having fun, and people saw that happening. We were actually set up, like, racing and going around right in the, like, large area where all the lines were. So everybody, we were welcoming everybody in. And it was just a really good time, and C2E2 in general. So, yeah, what was, aside from Quaid diving into the elevator, what was your favorite part? I'm going to interview you now. What's
okay, up? What was my favorite part?
Iggy's favorite part of C2E2.
Outside of that, I think it's always, so we come here to C2E2 and we grab a couple press passes as opposed to doing our big thing that Project's known for at events. You know, the big setup, the big booth, a whole bunch of us.
With all the you know... Everybody matches.
Yeah, it's a lot of
uniforms that you rock out.
Well, we've been really slack on that lately.
You need
to
do that more.
Yes, I know.
Right?
But that's our normal setup that people have got familiar with.
Yes.
This is one of those shows where there's like four or five of us on our own dimes, you know, staying at friends' houses on the couches, hanging out all night doing that. So that's part of what I love it is you get to go do cool, awesome interviews by day on the floor doing this stuff. And then in the evening, it's grab some of that great Chicago food, then lobby con it the rest of the night, right? Hang out on that side lobby at the Hyatt with, what would you say? I think Saturday night, probably 250 to 300 of our closest friends in that lobby.
I would
right?
say so, yeah.
Yeah, somewhere around
I
that.
I love that they actually are cool with that. I'm really glad
They're
that people
really
are responsible. I try to keep everybody as responsible as possible.
Right.
Because I don't want to lose that
exactly.
opportunity. It's great. It's one of my favorite things, one of my favorite setups in any con across the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that go on with your
no.
Favorite
it's
part.
No. You're exactly right. It's you kind of get it's like the Dragon Con experience, but in a it's like microdosing the Dragon Con experience if you were to say it right.
Yeah.
So you don't end up too hungover and drunk because you're microdosing. So and you're still aware of where you're at because you're not high on shrooms hiding in the corner. So no.
You had a different Dragon Con than I had.
No. My point is that Dragon Con is. That's you wake up and drink, and you drink the whole night.
Sure,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Where this is, you go do the floor experience, and then you come back and still have a few hours of just the hangout part.
Yes.
That was Dragon Con. And that's, I think, is always one of my favorite things. And I think, and Kyra, your wife, brought it up too, is this year Thursday night felt even more special because it's more low-key because everybody's just been traveling. So nobody's getting drunk and all this stuff. So it's more just lounging in that lobby and yeah. catching up with people you haven't seen in a while. So that's a really cool thing. What about you?
Oh, definitely. My favorite part, definitely the lobby and hanging out with people, seeing people I haven't seen for a while. But the actual show itself, it's just such an amazing show. I can't ever see all of C2E2, right?
It's a huge floor.
I never go in because I'm always... I go into, like, the cosplay area, but into, like, the artist alley and everywhere else like that. I did a little bit today or this weekend, but I typically don't because it's just so... It's crowded. It's just giant. I'll get lost, and I'll miss other things. So it feels like infinite con to me, right? Like, I never see the whole show. I never see the whole floor. Right. In most places, I'll go in and, like, first day, you know, I'll walk the floor, and I'm done. I can see. I know what's up, and I know where everything is. C2 is not like that. There's also multiple levels, multiple floors. There's constantly people coming through the cosplay, which I honestly, that's the reason I go. I don't care as much about celebrities and that sort of thing, but I care about the cosplay, and it's always, always just out of this world.
Well, this is one of the big cosplay shows, and even so in the sense that it's where the Crown Championship is, so they fly winners from all over the world of big contests in to compete for the ultimate prizes, I guess it would be.
Yeah.
So especially Saturday night, you see some of the biggest, greatest costumes. Like, look at that bird, Griffin or whatever it was, that one. Like,
yeah, that was up on stage, yeah.
Just flowing, and that didn't even place, like, because there's so many amazing costumes. Sure. And, right? And it's... But you get that, but you also get the experience to where on the floor, I think people know this is where I can show it off. And so you get some of the hardest work, the biggest builds and things like that. Like, I saw that Bumblebee guy again, the one that stands
Yeah, that was actually different. It was a different Bumblebee.
Oh, there's another one?
Yeah, there's a few Bumblebees around the nation.
They're big.
Yeah, they are big. Bumblebee tends to be a pretty big guy. But, yeah, what's awesome about that is that a lot of the people, like the Mario that was in the costume contest.
Right.
He was a winner of New York Comic-Con. He was hanging out with us when we were in Mario Kart, and we got to actually sit and chill and see all the crazy amounts of detail on his costume. And a lot of people from the actual, you know, main contest go out to the C2E2 sign. And they are literally hanging out, and you can actually see it in person. And then other people who aren't in the costume at all, who are just like maybe first-time builders or second-time builders, they come out with these amazing costumes. And like I said, that's the reason I go. I'm there for the costumes.
You guys mentioned, so G, who is kind of hanging out with the group, came up with you. Like, I think on the ride back, you're talking about, like, he said, like, I think Kyra asked, like, is this your first, like, real build? He's like, well, no, you remember I made those Halloween costumes.
Yeah.
So this was, like, his first, like, build.
Oh, this is definitely, so.
And it was impressive.
He blew it up.
Yeah.
Actually, we're sitting at the same table in the same makerspace that he sat here at this table easily for like 6 hours, if not 8 hours, 10 hours a day for like 3 months making this thing. The laser cutter over there, he's always been, he's part of the makerspace and he's known how to use it. I trained him on that a long time ago.
Right.
But he was using the laser cutter on part of the stuff. He did a lot of it by hand. All the sewing machines behind me, he brought in his own sewing machine. He was sitting here sewing, doing everything. He made everything himself. It's incredibly crazy. Impressive costume, and yeah, like first real build. He'd done a little bit. He took my film workshop a while ago.
It was unreal, too.
Yeah, it was really unreal. He's got some serious talent. So what was great though is, and that's, I want to get those pictures so I can post them up for this space because he was able to make that.
Kaminsky's photos.
Oh
yeah,
Kaminsky's already out being shared, blowing up everywhere, but. I mean, the character he did was a very unknown character for a lot of people, but the people in his community, in that, like, games community, are loving it, right? So it's awesome, and he picked a character he really likes. Which is something else, too. You can really see when people are walking around in cosplay, and when I'm in cosplay, for example, it matters that I like the character that I am, right?
Yeah.
And you can see the love come out for it, and it shows, and I love seeing that part of it. I mean, you can see that G was, when he was in his costume, he couldn't talk because he had a full mask
on. The mask.
But he was jiving. He was vibing pretty hard.
He can move around pretty easily in it.
Well, yeah. That, and also he just, you know, was getting into it. He liked the character. There's a lot of people like that. That even people who have characters that, you know, are less complex or whatever,
right.
They really can own it and rock it out. And I love that about cosplay.
Yeah. No, there's some great ones here, too. And as you're saying that, I'm thinking of all the people that stayed in character, the Smeagol.
Smeagol. There was so. On Sunday. Tell me about the, like, I'll tell you a little bit about Smeagol. So I ran up, I walked up on Smeagol and, you know, wanted to get his picture. And I kind of know the guy, so I sort of was starting to talk to him.
Was this on the floor?
It was on the
floor. Okay.
And he wasn't having it, right? He was just being Smeagol. He's staying in character. And then he rolls over when, like, my wife's taking video of him. He rolls over to, like, the, like, a jewelry place
yeah,
and starts looking. And he's like,
it, yeah.
Precious, precious. And he's going, fantastic. I love that part of the costume. But this guy's got, you know, basically a loincloth on. That's all he's got.
Yeah,
on.
He's at full.
No shoes, no anything. Going at it. Getting it. Being in character. And then, yeah, tell me about your
Oh, so then we're loading the truck and we're waiting on you to come down with that last load.
In the parking garage.
Right, so we're in a parking garage. And out of the corner of my eye, I see just this fast movement come out of the elevator area, just go across vehicles. And it was very awkward because I'm like, look over, and it's this person hunched over, like, moving fast and saying, like, just mumbling things like he would. So in the parking garage, off the con floor, nobody else around him. He's still fully in character. And we're in Chicago, and, like, well, it's March 1st, but it's still February pretty much.
Yeah.
And he's, like you said, barefoot. He's in the garage. He's still barefoot, like only the cloth on. Like it was insane.
Yeah, and nobody. He didn't have an audience.
No,
right? Like,
no.
Like you were far away from him, but you,
we were on the other side of the garage.
Okay,
it's
yeah.
just as we were talking about, like you kind of don't pay attention as people are because it was the end of the weekend, so tons of people are coming in, so nobody really catches your eye. But just because the way he was moving, we look over and it's like, yep, that's him. It was kind of creepy because it's
oh,
a dim-lit
definitely
garage.
Creepy.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah.
It was funny. He's a pretty funny. Yeah, and I saw the Precious video, the jewels. That's kudos to him. It was a pretty good one.
Yeah, for staying in character and going through the garage and no shoes.
Oh gosh, I can imagine. I'd be
yeah,
worried.
And that's part of the magic that makes it awesome, right? So you have all kinds of different characters. You have tons of great builds, and then some people who are acting it out like that. And Cosplay Central was great this year. I think the stage area that they had set up was awesome. It kind of had curtains at least all the way around it, so you could.
Right.
You felt like you were more in a room
in
than
actual
it just
panel
open.
Room. Yeah. Yeah, because in the years past, yeah. the stage opened up to it, and
yes.
I think it dampened the volume a little bit, and also took away from it being that panel experience. So yeah, they did a good setup this year.
Yeah, I liked their setup. I think they had probably one or two more booths than they should have, but. It's good that everybody got
right.
access. It was kind of a maze, but other than that, it was fine.
Yeah, I was really upset on Saturday. We got there late because, oh gosh, the traffic's so bad getting there. It's so crowded, right? And,
yeah.
But at 11:30, our friends down at our lawn at he's out of Kansas City. Him and his son. His son's in a wheelchair, so he builds the costume, walking and rolling costumes or walking and rolling chairs. I can't, but it's walking and rolling. You'd find them that way.
Sure.
And they do the charity, like they collect charity money and work with different teams to build these different, turn your wheelchairs into costumes for all these kids and chairs. And it's, and he got to go up on stage and talk about some of those experiences. And there was one we did with him, like for Halloween. And he really wanted me to be up there, and I wish I could have made it, but it was like a tearjerker moment type thing, and wanted to be a part of it. But he said the panel went really well, and I was pretty excited about that one. So that he got invited out, they got a spot, they got to talk about that part. I just love it when you guys do like that stuff too, with when the community is into the charitable side of it, when there's that piece of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of very awesome charitable organizations. Customers with a cause got to shout out to them because they do so many things. They do Make-A-Wish and a bunch of other things. They had a booth there. Always good to see them. Always good to see C2E2 supporting people like Costumers with a Cause. Just really, really great support in general. I mean, and C2E2's always done, Reed Pop, I should say,
yeah,
has always done a really good job of promoting cosplay and making sure that it's a big part of
their show.
It used to be that we were kind of out by the sign, and now they've given us an entire like section of the show floor,
right.
which is cool. It's great to be out by the sign too. I talked to a couple of photographers this year that were actually able to communicate well with Reed Pop.
Right.
And that matters. I mean, the shows, there's a lot of shows throughout the nation.
Well, it's important too, because it's that floor space is at a premium, and
those
booths aren't cheap, and a lot of those communities we're talking about walking and rolling, but also the cosplayers for a cause or whatever and all that stuff, they give them that space to promote those efforts. So I mean, that's good.
Yeah, no, it matters a whole lot.
Yeah.
And we don't ever use a booth. We don't, like, so with Wolfgar Weapons and Props, we usually have booths. But C2E2 is just one that we go to and network and have fun.
Right.
And typically it's our, we either make a big build or a fun build like we did this year. And it's just, we go there to meet people, see people, and do that enjoyment thing. So I don't know that I'll ever actually have a booth at C2. Not that I don't think that we would do well, but, or not that I don't want to work with them either. It's just that I'll do panels instead. I'll do things right. like that. I would prefer to not have it be such a work weekend.
Yeah, we used to have the booth there, and it was a cool experience to have a home base and be able to, but I think we get more done. Like I said, it's because we can knock out our work part and then kind of go do that enjoyment part. And it's also, it's all cons, not C2E2. It's hard when you're stuck on a floor till 7 or 8 at night, and you're I want to go eat, but then I want to go hang out with everybody, and I need to do this, and I got to get my stuff back to the room, and so to have that experience to where it's like, okay, I knocked out my last interview, it's 5, grab an early dinner, so by the time the show floor is done at 7, we're ready to hang out and do the thing. So C2E2 is a good one for that.
Definitely. Do you have any other thoughts on C2E2 you'd like to share?
I don't know. I think we could talk about forever and the things that happen here. But I think one of the big experiences, and I'll do my obligatory wrap-up post on Facebook, which we were going to talk about before we record.
It's always so hard now. Right? As busy as everybody is.
Yeah.
It needs it. This especially this con.
But like, I think the value of it this year was coming back here with you guys, getting that one-on-one time with Quaid, as always. He's one of my favorites. Gallo. You know, thank you, Ryan and Nick, obviously, for being part of the Project Nerd team. But I get to see Ryan all the time. He's in Denver with me and Nick. But Gallo's like my brother. Like, that's one of my brothers. And to get to come up here and hang out with him and see his family, because I've known his family for years, and meet your new puppy dog.
Yeah, great. I mean, I usually have a lot of, like, late-night talks with people. I got a lot of, you know, networking.
Right.
And then last night, one of my highlights of the weekend was last night. And I got to chill and have
that late
night talk. It's like 2:30
in the morning.
Yeah, and actually get back to that friendship level. Not that, you know, we don't already have that.
We just don't have the time. We're so far apart.
I miss them.
Yeah.
Right? I miss those.
No, it's great. I sat there and talked to you till 2:30 in the morning. And then I got up this morning and talked to your wife for 2 hours.
While my lazy ass slept.
And then just odd, one of the highlights of the weekend that I would have never even known it was coming was talking to your dad for like 2 hours. And he gets it was really cool because a lot of social and political talk. But then when I talk about geeking out with movies, him and I just went crazy on classic movies. And
I saw
actors
that
there too. I love old movies, and it's hard because not a lot of people my age are into the old movies. So it was really cool. He was fun to talk to. So yeah, those experiences that I wasn't even planning for the weekend, right?
Definitely.
And they just hit you. So when I think when people are like, "What are your favorite moments of the weekend?" Everything that I can think of that's in those top parts was nothing that I had planned to do. So it was
right.
A good
and
time.
What's funny is the con itself and everything else is great, and it's what everything all this revolves around.
Right.
But most of my favorite moments were like either in the hotel room or in the lobby, or you know that funny joke that people were making, or the drive up or the drive down, any of these things, just very memorable things. But it's all because of the con, right?
Right,
you can try
is.
To throw these things, and I can have parties and whatever that sort of thing, and you get some of these memories. But it's C2E2's like coming home,
right?
Right, especially when it's the same hotel, same lobby, even like the bellhops, right? Like the bellhops, I've been hanging out with them, and like they've been helping me come in, and I say hi every time, and I love seeing those guys, right? And they're right there. They're like, oh, I'll wait for you in a minute, and I'm like,
yeah,
that's.
No, they got a
like
good
I
staff.
Said, it's like coming home.
Shout out to
great.
The Hyatt there. They got a good team that's there. And there's, like you said, they're so open to the whole group hanging out on that side lobby. They're very hospitable. They're very helpful. But even down to the restaurants and bars there, I mean, they're typically like most convention center, hotel, restaurant bars, they're a little pricey, but it's good food and the staff's friendly.
Great
and,
food,
yeah. Yeah, and it's like, yeah. Like I can feel like, oh, I can go grab a rice bowl or you know, some pho there and sit down, and I'm like, I feel like I got this from a real restaurant, not some place on the side of the hotel, right? Like,
yeah,
it's a good experience overall. They do a good job. So shout out to the Hyatt at McCormick.
And that's hard to do. Mm-hmm. It really is. That's to make everything run as smoothly as
it's day in and day out for them, too.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Because McCormick already, what the normies were leaving on Thursday when we were setting up, like they're all.
And they were getting there on Sunday,
their suits,
right?
And by Sunday evening, you already saw the new badges coming down from the hotel with people in suits, like looking around at all these colored haired people in like in costumes and like, what's going on? This is getting a little weird. But no, it's really cool that venue. I like it too. It'd be awesome like if McCormick was downtown, but it's so big like they would lose half their downtown.
Yeah, I was gonna say I like
the convention center's huge. Yeah. It's so big. Yeah. But no, it's so what was that? Did you get to get out and get any good Chicago food this weekend?
Oh, no, I don't typically leave the hotel. Right. My wife actually went out and got food.
Yeah.
And brought it back. So I
got some boba tea without me, too.
Yes, and I got to enjoy that from takeout after she was done, and I got to hang out with everybody in the lobby because that's really what I want to be. There's hundreds of people to talk to and share stories with.
And oh, yeah.
And really get to know. And again, if you're listening to this and you're thinking about going to C2E2, for sure go. It's amazing. But if you're into cosplay at all, come hang out at the lobby. It's a good time.
Yeah, and the food, that's another Quaid experience this weekend, Quaid and I. So Friday, I didn't eat, but I did kill my entire weekend snack bag on Friday by Friday afternoon. I have no snacks to take back to me at the airport.
That's how it goes.
Yeah. So, we didn't eat because, I mean, by the time we got there, 11, we had had some, I think, donuts that morning was what Gallo grabbed. And then we went to get breakfast. So, I mean, I had to eat, like, I don't normally eat a big breakfast in my day-to-day. And, but, of course, then by, like, 3 or 4, and you're on the floor all day and walking around like we were getting pretty hungry.
Oh, yeah.
So Joe and Sabrina and Noah all from Kansas City were up, and they were ordering some pizza, and so Quaid and I threw in. And so by the time the pizza is supposed to be there in the lobby, Quaid comes down. We're sitting there, and like, where are they at? And they're like, well, Sabrina doesn't want to come back over. We're going to eat over here. And we're like, I thought we contributed, but where's our pizza? So by the time they finally get it to us, and we've done harassing them, and they've done giving us a hard time, this is like, and like we said, it's hard because the show floor closes at 7, so it's like 8:30, 9 by the time we're eating.
Right.
I think Quaid took out like, this is Chicago-style pizza. He took out like 5 slices. I took out like 6 or 7. We were so hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Saturday morning was rough with all that pizza because you only eat 1 or 2 normally. And Stephen K. Smith was still harassing us about it the next Sunday. By Sunday, he was still talking about it. He's like, you only need 1 slice. What were you two doing? And we're like, we didn't have lunch, man. We're
hungry. You gotta eat, right?
Gotta eat. It's pizza. It's good. No, I got my Carbone tacos down in the South Loop, Chinatown. I love those tacos. Some little hole in the wall that's under the highway part, the end of the Chinatown strip. It got some pizza, some Chicago style pizza, and Hash Browns, which is downtown breakfast place. It's really good.
I'm not sure how you got out this much, right?
Well, because I stayed at Gallo's.
Oh, so okay.
We had to drive in and out anyway. Right. So especially for breakfast or, you know, on the way down.
That makes a lot of sense, yeah.
If you're going to roll in a half hour to an hour before the show, like McCormick's so packed, there's no point.
Oh, now. Yeah.
So you might as well just grab some food, 10:30, try to roll in instead of standing in line for an hour after you sat in line in the car for an hour. Like, you might as well. So we'd grab that breakfast. But pizza ordered in, and I carboned, like, I have to make that run. And again, we did make our White Castle run. So I got my White Castle.
Got that White Castle. That was not really a run. That was a drive.
That was a drive.
There's a scoot
scooters.
Or whatever you want to call it.
That was a scoot.
Is that called?
A scoot. I think when I made the poster, it said Scoot Times. Because I think it's
Scoot Times.
So I think the Harold and Kumar poster says, let me find, hold
yeah,
on.
Yeah, something. He made a Harold and Kumar poster.
Yeah,
with,
we had to go to White Castle.
His adventure.
Well, so we'll talk about actually that whole thing in a second because you still harass Quaid with that mug. So on the Frank
Oh, I
guest.
Love that. I love that mug. It's actually one of my favorite mugs. I'm sure I stole it from somebody, but
took it from him. Yeah,
probably stole it from him. Maybe he can have it back whenever. But
it's fast food high times was the tagline, so we did fast food scoot times. We did. Quaid came and visited me like a few years ago in Colorado, and on one of the days the weather was bad, and I had my kids, so we were just sitting there and we ended up watching like Community for like 4 or 5 hours. Like,
sure.
And so they had the. What's it, Troy and Abbott in the morning. So we made Frank and Gus in the morning, these nicknames that my kids assigned me.
Are you allowed to say that
me.
On this right now?
I'm doing it, okay. Man. We're going here. We got
hashtag not
hashtag
real.
Cease and desist. Yeah.
Hashtag not really a thing.
Well, oddly enough, so I put like the shirt design up so we could order. And I'm like, nobody's going to order this shirt or mug.
Sure.
We actually sold a few. And Quaid and I joke that the 2 shirts that sold was probably some grandma at Christmas when they're like, we want a Troy and Abbott shirt. And then he orders the Frank and Gus one by mistake.
I hope that happens.
That's what I'm hoping to. We're on some 12-year-old shirt somewhere that's like, I wanted a freaking Community shirt. Anyway, but we didn't really sell them. And so they kind of, but it did sit on the store. And then we did have all the joke stuff that we did at C2E2 the 1 year that was on the website. So Sony owns the rights to Community and sent us a cease and desist. And what makes it even funnier is that the White Castle stuff now doing Frank and Gus Go to White Castle, I'm pretty sure that's a Sony property as
well.
Yeah,
you gotta stop that.
Yeah, it's Sony. So the poster's only on the personal Facebook pages. We're not,
absolutely.
We're not putting it out there. But it's, I don't know, it's a parody. I feel like we could fight it if I had money to fight it. But no, I wouldn't. I just would have to stop.
I thought that they actually were trying to, like, make a new show called Frank and Gus, and they were
it's the because I my Photoshop skills are so flawless.
They
felt the logo was too close to their Troy and Abbott in the Morning.
Well, that's one of the things they have to do is they have to, if they have a copyright or whatever.
Yeah,
they have to defend
it.
And part of their, like, quote unquote defending it is them coming after, like, those things.
Right.
If their lawyers do doing the right job, then they're like, oh, hey, we sent a C&D to these people because we're defending your...
Well, and that's the reason I'm not upset about it and can joke about it, is that those shirts sat on that store for a while, even though nobody's buying them.
No, it doesn't matter.
They're technically in a marketplace for sale, so I get why they would do it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. If it was just the joke stuff that we were doing, I'd kind of be like, I'm going to complain about Sony some, but you're exactly... They were protecting the sales part there is probably what triggered the whole thing. So I'm sure if we, as a joke, threw out the White Castle on poster out there, they wouldn't care. But if I tried to put on some shirts, which I've considered already, I think Seth was asking, when do I get my coffee mug with the White Castle on there?
The new coffee mug.
The new coffee mugs. We'll just have to order them on the side to where they're not up on a, end up on a marketplace. So I don't know. It's a good time. Sony, we love you. Don't get mad. Don't take Spider-Man away. So, I love the show. And you guys are off to Cleveland next, right?
Oh, yeah. So we just got back from a show 2 weeks ago. Then we had C2E2. And now we're going to Cleveland. First time in Wizard World Cleveland. But I'm excited. And I hear good things about Cleveland. I like going to Wizard Worlds they're good to us. Good times. I'm excited to take a couple new people and see how that show goes. I think we're going to have to leave early on Friday, like really early on Friday. But we got Friday, Saturday, Sunday, come back, and then we have a bit of a break. I think the next show is Lexington Comic Con.
Okay.
Have you ever been to Lexington?
I haven't been to the Comic Con.
It's not Comic Con. It's actually, I misspoke, it's Lexington Toy and Comic Expo.
Right. No, I haven't been to it.
And it's a good time. Like I said,
I don't know
about Cleveland, but... Well, hopefully that's good. But Lexington Toy and Comic Expo is, it reminds me, they really have it down to, like, the old school Comic Cons, right? Like,
right.
They have a great area there for some celebrities, but then they treat their vendors really well. And they have, like, the up front there, there's always a big Star Wars showcase.
Yeah.
Like, they bring, like, the Bantha, and they bring all that stuff out. And it's good. It's really a fun time. If you ever anywhere near Lexington, definitely check that out.
Yeah, that one's what, late March, early April?
Late March. And then we got something else in April. I forget what else. So we have basically one convention a month from here on out until convention season stops.
That's good.
Which is like November. Or
right. We're not doing it this year, and we're usually right there with that many, and it's just... I'm going to go sleep for a few weeks after this one. Like, that's what I want to do.
Yeah, well, that's what a lot of people do after C2E2. I just had to drink a lot of coffee
right,
and go.
Yeah, no, we're going to be focusing a lot on these podcasts. So I know you guys are checking out the Nerdcast on our feed. You can check out the many other Project Nerd podcasts. I think we're going to have up to words to a dozen episodes by the end of March, or a dozen series, like, rolling. Some of them monthly, so we're not recording, like, 12 new things every week. But a lot more voices, because I don't like my voice. I assume most of these people listening don't care for my voice, so we'll get a lot more.
I like your voice.
Right.
Thank you. Your voice is a very, very good voice.
It's obnoxious. I can hear it right now in my headphones.
It was made for the radio.
No.
For radio.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks. I appreciate that.
You've never heard that one before.
No. That's a new joke. That's definitely a new one. No, so we're kind of toning it back on the conventions, but C2D, we got some good stuff. We already put out the Don Diablo interview, so that's really cool. Impact Theory Comics. So this guy, Tom Bellew, spends 15 years making this nutrition company, becomes a multi-billion-dollar company.
Sweet.
And so he's out, like, talking to people about it. So he starts traveling as a motivational speaker because he's, like, really well-spoken, really into it, and really shares about how, even in the interview, mentions, like, you know, I even went in expecting this to take 18 months, and, of course, it took, you know, 15 years, and talks a lot about the truth behind building an empire, I guess would be a nice way to put it. But he's a giant nerd. So what do you do when you have a bunch of money and you're a giant nerd? You know, you start your own comic publishing, obviously.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. But really cool is he partnered with Steve Aoki and Don Diablo, two of, like, the world's biggest, hottest DJs right now, who, I mean, are nerds as well, I guess. So they're making their own comics.
Dude, everybody's a nerd.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? Isn't that, like, kind of your thing now?
Yeah. Right? Well, that's what we nerd out about everything, right? What do you nerd about? But that's the thing. It's, and not only that, too, everybody wants to tell their own story, right? Whether you're a, quote, traditional nerd or not, somebody says, hey, do you have a story you'd like to tell? A fictional made-up thing. Everybody's thought of that story of, like, what would I turn into a TV show or a movie or a comic?
Oh, definitely.
Right? Yeah.
I always ask people, like, hey, what's your fandom? And, I mean, I meet a lot of normal people throughout my day. And
call them normies.
Normies or whatever. I call them muggles because
muggles.
They don't dress up.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
But, yeah, so I meet them all the time. And the breakthrough and the thing that, like, gets them in the makerspace that I run or – you know, to understand that costume stuff is, it's like, what's your fandom?
Right.
And they're always like, you know, sometimes they right away answer Star Wars, Star Trek, something. But a lot of times they're like, nah, not really. I'm like, all right, man, you don't like Harry Potter, like what Legos, like what something's getting you.
Right.
And everybody's got something. They
and
really
the,
do.
Yeah. And you tap deep into it and it's like, well, why do you like the Wizards? Well, I've always liked this. And I think it'd be cool to see a story like this. And that's exactly, you start pulling out their story they'd want. So
yeah,
that, and
even
that's,
if it's just like model airplanes or something, you're nerding out about that.
Right.
That's good.
And that's where this DJ Don Diablo is headlining an event in Mexico City on Friday night and then flies up to Chicago on Saturday to promote his new comic. And I'm looking at the synopsis of it and all this stuff, and I'm like, totally, this is Last Starfighter all over it. I love it. Like, it's the idea of the kid's not allowed to play video games in the 80s, gets to play video games, then gets sucked into this whole new world, and it's like, freaking love it. And as we're talking about it,
sounds
that's
like
exactly,
Captain N.
Yeah, that's exactly what he says. He references Last Starfighter, and I'm like, I knew it. And it's so he had that, exactly, he had that fandom.
Yeah.
And so when it's like, well, do you want to tell a story about it? And it's like, well, there's a young me, and I'm not, my dad won't let me play video games. And then I find out why. It's because when I think he's working, he's actually off, like, defending against it. And it's like, this is super cool. And now he gets to tell that story, you know, so it was really cool. And it was really neat. Another great thing about C2E2 is the variety. You mentioned fandoms, but the variety of mediums, all this stuff. Like, they do so good with authors and books. Like, we talked to Daniel Cross, the writer of Shape of Water, Trollhunters, all that stuff. And talking about disc jockeys, right? Mega superstar DJs. All these different people that are there. So when they're at the booth, you have all these people coming up with his, logo on it and all this stuff. And it's like, they're at a Comic-Con already, but they're also so excited to see a DJ.
Oh, yeah.
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 And it's like,
I mean,
it's
just, and you never know who you're going to run into.
Right.
Half the time people are like, oh, crap, that person's here. Adam Savage was there.
Oh, Roman, and he always roams on the floor, too.
Yeah, Adam Savage was out in, I think he was out in Captain America. Yeah, he was,
yeah,
I know
on
he was
Friday
out in
Captain America.
And, you know, I know a lot. I didn't get to meet him. I was doing a bunch of other stuff, but I know a lot of my friends who were really into making and building. And just cosplay, because he's, like, the top-level cosplayer. Like, are always super supportive of cosplay and, you know, does,
well, he's big about
TED
the community,
Talks on
yeah.
top cosplay. And, you know, he's a celebrity. They all got to, like, say hi, right? And that was great. And it's C2E2 brought him in, and that was fantastic. And then they also brought in, like, Carl Urban from The Boys
Carl
was
Urban.
There. And, I mean, he's not just The Boys. He's done so many nerd things.
Dread, Red.
Yeah,
like
Lord of the Rings, all kinds
all
of
these
stuff.
Things,
like, literally,
all
just start naming
things,
out.
Yeah.
The only thing he's not been in, I mean, he was in Star Trek. He was a doctor. But,
right, oh, yeah.
He hasn't been in Star Wars yet, which I'm waiting for. Like, that's going to... We'll put him in. They'll put him in there somewhere.
Right, is he an MCU?
Yeah, he's the executioner. For
oh,
Thor,
yeah.
Carl
Urban
Thor. Is,
yeah.
like, the a boss.
I forget. Yeah, right? I don't know how I forgot about that. He's one of the best characters in Ragnarok.
Yeah, and I'm absolutely not a... like that celebrity guy. Like, I don't know a lot of the different names of celebrities,
right.
that sort of thing, but he's, you know, I got to know him because he's just in all the things. Plus he's just does such a good job. But the nice thing about him too, is I heard like 3 or 4 stories of people meeting him. He was at Dragon Con this year and he's just been around on the circuit. And everybody just like he seems really appreciative of it, right?
And
he
is
he seems like he's actually into the things. He likes his fans, those things. I mean, of course, you can't, and that's the other thing too. I always tell people, I mean, if you meet a celebrity, you meet somebody, and I'm by no means anywhere close to a celebrity, but there are definitely times where people will come up to me and they'll be excited to meet me for whatever reason. And because I sold something to him or whatever, and I might be really hungry, or I might just have to like poop or something. Right? Right. Like something like there's a lot of stuff that you have
like
to
we
do.
Said, we were not very well taking care of our bodies this week.
Right.
So there's
and
a lot
I'm
of pooping
sure they're
happening.
Not this, they're kind of the same way. They meet so many people that are exhausted. Mm-hmm. So you can't judge somebody on the one little interaction that you've had with them. What's great is when they do make that time. And like, I know Carl Urban, like he pulled out his camera to take pictures of somebody else. One of my friends, who was dressed, they dressed as like the boys' characters, the bad guys, whatever they are, like Homelander and Miss Maeve or whatever.
Okay.
And, but he was, this was J-Worm.
Okay.
Old J-Worm. And J-Worm, his wife actually was Homelander, but he was Miss Maeve. So they gender swapped him.
Yeah.
And he was like, he's this giant dude. He used to play football. And just a giant dude. He was barely like sticking out of this thing. He had to have the straps on. It didn't even look comfortable. It was ridiculous.
Right.
But he was Miss Maeve, and Carl Urban took his phone out and got that picture and was like, "Hey, I'm going to show that to the network." And that's cool, right? Like,
it's fantastic.
He appreciates the fans and the cosplay and all that stuff. Not that, I mean, I don't blame him because it was majestic, right? I mean, and a lot of celebrities are the same way, right?
But they're excited about the fandoms too. I think it makes it that much better. But yeah, like you said, they had some great guests here that are like that. Like Stephen Amell is fantastic with his
definitely.
People. It seemed like I had never met them, and I don't even know most of their names. But some of the people from the Umbrella Academy, now that show is blown up.
Oh yeah.
And they everything you see is like any picture you see from a fan or somebody roaming the board, they have giant grins on their face.
Mm-hmm.
They're having a great time. Like. They're really enjoying the experience too. And so when you see them doing that, I think it really adds to them and gives me more respect to them and when they're playing their characters because of it.
Yeah, and we've actually had celebrities come up and like ask to borrow props that we've made from their show.
Right.
Like the guy with the axe shotgun from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
He came up to our booth and was like, "Hey, you guys got one of those axe shotguns?" I'm like, "No, but we have like two that are around here somewhere that people were literally carrying to like have you sign."
Yeah.
So he came into like one of my, his manager actually came into one of my panels after I talked to him and was like, "Hey, we're going to do a shoot. Like, where are those?" And I called somebody and was like, "Hey," and they got to go up and do the shoot with him.
That's
and
sweet.
There's a lot of, and it was a really fun thing too, kind of like what you're talking about with the DJ. A lot of people who are celebrities now are also giant nerds.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you look at the Stranger Things kids, you look at like tons of people. And they're all, you know, they're all about, they actually like to play D&D. They've actually played that stuff before.
Well, what's his name? Joe Magnielli?
Oh, yeah, he's, you know.
With his whole basement, him and Eva Longoria, his wife.
He's got his thing, man.
He had to convince her, no, half the basement is dedicated to my D&D space. Like, that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, what's funny is when you're saying that, like, all of us are like, yeah, man, that's what basements are for.
Right,
right?
Yeah.
And it's great that he's able to bring that. You know, he's also in great shape, right?
Right.
So he's not the typical D&D nerd, right?
Yeah.
So he's able to show people, yeah, you can have this love for this, but also be a successful actor and be in good shape and everything else, but still know what a beholder is, right?
Right.
Still understand all the stats to everything and let's go. And I like the fact that there's that happening. Also, esports, right?
Oh,
like,
it's huge right now.
Video games, I mean, dude, esports is blowing up bigger than
right.
anything. And I mean, that's amazing. When I was a kid, I used to play video games. I used to play Magic the Gathering and Dungeons and Dragons
mm-hmm.
and all that. And, you know, I didn't tell anybody in school.
Right.
I played sports and whatnot. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to hang out with
no,
my real friends
separate.
After
it was separate,
this.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
No, even as I did giant nerd in school, like it was my comic collecting, wanting to make comic, all that was separate. Like it wasn't, there's this select group in school where we talk about it for the most part. The rest of it was, like you said, it was, oh, I love baseball or I love whatever food, which I still love. But yeah, it's I think it is cool. It's becoming more and more mainstream. And there's a lot of, like I said, a lot of great. We get a lot of opportunities to talk to a lot of these people. And as those that are listening know, because it's the interviews are put on the same feed, it's really cool opportunities. And so when you see and you meet them and they keep at that level of expectation, like they are excited about talking to us and they are excited about the things they do and all that. It just, it puts them on a whole new level of like, I got a lot more respect here because you're not just doing it for the paycheck, right? Like, you're doing it at great, and going back to Stephen Amell, the example, like the how tough it was for him to walk away from Arrow. Like, he was on Michael Rosenbaum's podcast and had like a breakdown about it, and he told him, no, we're going to air that. I want to talk about it and put it out there.
Yeah,
and talk about the stresses of not only leaving that show, but that was, he's like, that was my life. Like, that was a big part of my life, and to walk away from it, and you're exhausted because you've just been filming for all these hours and all this stuff. He's like, I just had a moment to where it was hard because I realized that chapter is over.
Well, yeah, and they're family. Like, you look at Lord of the Rings, you look at, I mean, not Lord of the Rings, but Game of Thrones and a bunch of other, those people spent, you know, years together in their trailer.
And some of them
and
got married
friends.
Because they were married.
Yeah,
right?
And doing all those things. And, I mean, think about if you're in our normal job, it's like, everybody you work with at Project Nerd.
Right.
Right. If somebody just snapped their fingers and said, okay, Project Nerd's over, you know, go your separate ways, that sucks.
People,
right?
Some of those people have a hard time about it because it's, yeah, this, they love doing this stuff.
Well, and your friends, right? And your friends and your family become, you work with your coworkers and whatnot more than anybody else in your life. Like, you spend that much more time, especially when you're on set all the time. You have trailers.
Right. Oh, yeah. And they
who
work
else you gonna hang 10, out
12 hour days.
They go to bars together. They do all that. Anything else. Like, they're watching movies. They're playing video games together. Any of that stuff that's happening. They're friends. They're real friends and family. So that's, I think that's a, I mean, I've heard that from lots of different people who, when their show ends, or they, you know, get killed in Walking Dead or something, right?
Right.
And they have
to leave. Yeah, we've done so many panels with those guys that they're like, I was heartbroken when I found out this was my season to go. No, I got, all right, I got one more. We got to get you out of here because you got another thing happening.
Yeah,
I got one more story to tell about C2E2, and then we'll give you, let you do some plugs. So another great experience this weekend is when you meet it. So you mentioned all the Project Nerd people. We got people all over the world even that write and
definitely
do stuff for us. A lot of awesome people contributing. You don't get to always meet them right away. You know, you're meeting them online and stuff. So we're hanging out in the lobby, and I'm sitting at the table, one of the tables, like with Gallo, and you know, a bunch of our people are over there. And I turn around as this guy walks up, and he's trying to do the trick of where I'm going to get the bottle cap off with the side of the table, and like damaging the side of the hotel table, and then realizes he's not going to get it done, and there's a bunch of people watching him, so he awkwardly walks away mumbling, like, really weird situation. So I turn to make a comment to it to this lady that's standing on the other side of the table, and she sees my hat with the logo. She goes, oh, Project Nerd. I was like, you know, because there's people, like you were talking about earlier, people recognize the brands and all that. And I'm like, yeah, we're there. And she's like, oh, my name's Sarah. I write for you guys. I was like, oh, awesome, man. Like, it was nice to meet you. So it was this random encounter in the lobby, not on the floor, not planned, not anything. It was that whole lobby hangout thing. And she had been hanging out on the other side of the table there the whole time. And it took this one random guy stupidly trying to open the bottle for her to see the logo and connect. And it was just really cool. And, oh, that's how I met Sarah, who is one of our cosplay bloggers.
That's fantastic, right?
Yeah, it was super cool. It was a fun moment, too. All right, we'll get you out of here. Let's talk. Let's get people to your places, though. Obviously, you can head on just over to projectnerd.com and click on that Wolfgar Weapons banner on the homepage or any of the sidebars for any of the posts and content. But where else are they going to stumble upon that and Cause Awesome stuff?
Oh, yeah, so causeawesomestudios.com, causeawesome.com, and wolfgarweapons.com.
Perfect.
And wolfgarprops.com. All those, like, we sell on Etsy, we sell all over, we just have fun. We have a lot of fun doing it. I love making props for people. We sell to everybody, too, so that's a big thing.
Right.
It's been challenging, but we sell to movies and celebrities, but then we also sell to anybody, like literally anybody. Do a lot of work at Halloween. If you need a Halloween costume made, we do a lot of custom stuff, and people will always contact us, like, early October or September and be like, hey, I really want this. No, please contact us in like August, or something like that. So yeah, you can find us all these things, and we make more than just props.
Right.
More than just props for sure, but more than just weapons. That happens to be the alliteration. I do like making cosplay weapons.
The holy hand grenade in your basement.
Yeah.
I've seen tons of various D20 dies, like around different sizes being painted.
Yeah.
There's one actually right over here to my left.
We make everything, right?
And real quick, too, speaking of movies, Retro Hawk Productions, our good friend Esmeralda Von Katz, Amanda Fellner, is going to be starring a movie, but you get to be in this movie, too.
Yeah, I get to be the mid-sub-boss, I guess.
Okay.
I got to beat the shit out of her, and she beat the shit out of me.
There you go.
But apparently, throughout the entire movie, she's like a complete badass and doesn't get touched very much.
Yeah, well, she's racing through time to, like, was it Killer?
I was.
The guy who did it? I don't know.
I don't want to spoil any movie. You got to go watch it.
Yeah, I know. She's told me stuff that I'm like, am I allowed to say these words or not? So, Retro Hawk Productions, I think he's working on wrapping up the final cut, but you can obviously see Wolfgar on there and another great friend of ours as well. Get a few people we know in there. So, check that out since you brought up movies. But other than that, episode 219, thank you for putting up with the handheld mics. There wasn't really much background noise. It was pretty quiet. It was a pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty good, for sure.
So, you know, if any of the audio is off a little bit, we'll be back in studio next time. Once again, go check out our great sponsors over at Geek Garage, geek-garage.com. And for this very special episode, make sure you check out HD Foam. We brought them up. Great guys, SKS and Pope over there, working hard on that stuff. So what's Pope's, like, prop name?
Pope is Wildcard.
Wildcard, yeah.
With a K on Instagram. He's a real good dude.
Yeah, so those are some good guys. So check that stuff out, too. But that's it for 219. I'm going to have to head home at some point soon, so I guess I'll do that today.
I got to say, it's been a blast hanging out all weekend with you and with everybody else.
Love it.
And if anybody has any questions for me at all out there, hit me up on Facebook. Hit us up on the Facebook.
This guy's got not all the answers, but this guy's a great resource for prop stuff, and you guys, just like that, you should. You guys are geeks about it, so you don't withhold answers and keep secrets. You're willing to help all these people out.
Yeah, I'd love to do more videos, and I think we're going to try to. We've tried to for years now.
It's hard. It's a lot, yeah.
But the best part about it is just talking to people online and being able to, like, just send links, that sort of thing. So, yeah, hit me up, anybody out there.
Yeah, all the Wolfgar. We'll put all the links on the site, too. All right, well, that's 219 of the Nerdcast. Until next time.
Hey, Pro Nerds, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you like the Nerdcast and other amazing Project Nerd podcasts, please go give us a subscription, a like, a review, wherever you find us, as we need your love and support to continue making awesome podcasts. Next week, we'll be back with another great episode of Nerdcast, as well as other original Project Nerd podcasts.